Our scripture lesson for today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Everything has a time, and it is written. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So Martha came to Jesus and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for stepping. You know, the Native Americans, when they weave a rug, they intentionally insert an error somewhere because they want to acknowledge that they're not perfect. I did that with Nalu just because I didn't want anybody to think that I was perfect. Nalu, thank you. I asked him and he was all ready and I just drifted off. You know, once upon a time I was just a fresh out of seminary, a brand new seminarian, wet behind the ears. My first appointment, I can still remember going in there and wondering, wow, I wonder what's going to happen today. And I'd get a phone call. Someone would call up and say, yeah, preacher, where does it say in the Bible that... And they'd ask me some obtuse question. They assumed that I had memorized the whole Bible, knew it by chapter and verse, and had it all right on the top of my head. And you know, I have never been good at memorization. Never have. And that was back when I was still a young pup with dark hair. And you know, it just... It hasn't been the case. And so I would say, I'll call you back. And I'd dig out some of my reference books and look through my concordances and various things and try and find an answer for them. They never asked, where's the story about God creating the earth and everything? That one I knew, you know. But now it's been a couple of years since then, and I ponder the hereafter. I walk into a room and say, what did I come in here after? Do you ponder the hereafter sometimes? But now I have another tool. I ask the computer. It might be Siri in your house, but in my house it's Google. I say, Google, where do you find that passage about such and such and such and such? So, times have changed. I don't get any of those calls anymore. If any of you want to make my day, call me on the phone and say, Pastor, where do you find the passage about... And I'll say, Google, and we'll get it solved. You ever heard of obedience? I've heard of obedience training for dogs. Never heard about it for cats. Let's not get off track here. Maybe we need obedience for people too, but that's another sermon. Mark, there's an idea for you coming on. There's this priest walking along the road. And he's walking down the road and he's having a good time. And He's headed on his way to do a churchy business, and he comes up and he looks, and there's a body, a naked body laying along the side of the road up ahead. Well, boogers. I don't know if he said boogers, but that's kind of what, you know, went through his mind. And this body isn't moving, and it might be a dead body. But the priest is well-trained, well-learned, and he knows the passage, Leviticus 21:11. I have it written down here. A person shall not go where there is a dead body. He shall not defile himself, even for his father and mother. Obediently, the priest crosses to the other side of the road, goes on his way, doesn't touch the body, stays clear, you know, because if he becomes unclean, Numbers 19 says, those who touch a dead body of any human being shall be unclean for 7 days. So he knows he's got to not be unclean. And by, you know, he's on his way to a UMW luncheon, you know, and he's the guest speaker. And how is he going to be in the luncheon and do the speaking if he's unclean? It's going to just mess up the whole week. So he has done the right thing. A little while later, here comes a Levite. You've heard of Levites. They're of the tribe of Levi, that one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And these are the designated helpers in the temple. These are quasi-priests. They're religious types, and they also are under a lot of edicts of, we all are, about cleanliness and uncleanliness. He comes along, seems the same body. It's still not moving. It could be a dead body. It's naked. Not supposed to touch naked stuff either, but here's his body. And he knows the scriptures, and so he likewise is well-learned, and he is obedient, and he crosses to the other side of the road and goes on his way. Now, unfortunately, the man in the ditch is not dead at all. He was along the road there, and he was accosted by some ne'er-do-wells, and they beat him up, and they took all of his possessions, including his clothes, and they left him laying there naked and unconscious in the ditch. But he's not dead. He's just injured and incapacitated and laying there. So along comes an immigrant. And he is an alien. I want to specify an immigrant, not an alien like, in a, you know, from space or something like that. He's a person not from this country, someone else from a rival country. And not only from another country, but one of those countries that's a bad country. You know what I'm talking about. It changes over time. When I was a kid, Russia was the bad country. For my parents, it was Germany and Japan. They were the bad countries. It keeps changing, so you've got to kind of keep up. You know, I watch the news so I know who it is that we're supposed to be not liking. That was a joke. Not a very funny joke, but that was a joke, yeah. So he's from one of those not so lovable, unliked, naughty countries. He's an unclean person that you're not supposed to have anything to do with. He's an alien. He's an immigrant. He's unclean, and he kind of an ungodly person because their country is ungodly. And he comes across the naked body. Now it's odd because this alien, immigrant, unclean, ungodly person stops and checks, and he discovers that the person is injured, but he's not dead. So quick-like, he trots back up to the road, opens his SUV, gets it. He goes to his donkey, and he opens the saddlebag and takes out his first aid kit. Well, at least he gets some rags and some oil, and he bandages the guy up as best he can and gets a blanket around him, and he takes him up and puts him in the back seat of his SUV. No, he puts him on his donkey, and he takes him to the inn to have him taken care of, tended, cared for, patched up. Getting some help. Now, this is bizarre because of the three, two were obedient. One wasn't obedient. But the one who was not obedient, who took care of the man who was injured, he did the right thing. It's an odd thing. See, Jesus tells a similar story just like this, and we talked about it last week. We didn't talk about it, but we read it. Do you remember? It's the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritans are these ungodly, alien immigrants that nobody is supposed to be around, have anything to do with, and he's the one who takes care of this man who's fallen upon robbers. And Jesus uses the illustration, and he says, go and do likewise. Okay, so Jesus is teaching us, go and do. Repeat that with me. Go and do. One more time. Go and do. We got it. Go and do. Go and do. Go and do. Now today, we read the next passage right out of Martha and Mary. Nalu did a great job on it. I was going to try. Maybe we could have done it together. A duet. No, never. Martha is being a wonderful hostess. Isn't she a delight? She's busy in the kitchen. She's cooking the fatted calf. You know she is. She's preparing the vegetables. She's squeezing the lemonade for fresh lemons for fresh lemonade. She's got the linen pressed. She's got the best china out. Everything is. She's filtering the wine. Everything is ready for just a beautiful meal. But she's rushing. Hospitality is hard work. We know that, don't we? And her sister is just sitting there listening to Jesus. Now, this is an odd thing to begin with because Jesus is kind of a rabbi type. He's kind of a teacher, and he has students, but women are never students. Women do not sit at the feet of rabbi. Women didn't learn to read or write. They served. Women had a whole different place in life. How many of you saw the movie Yentl with Barbara Streisand? She's this young Jewish girl, and her dad is... Mom's not in the picture. We don't know her. Died, obviously. But dad is a well-learned, and he loves reading the scripture, and he reads them with his daughter. And she's learned the scripture. She's intelligent. She enjoys it. But dad dies. And she wants to continue learning, and she can't. So she pretends to be a guy so she can keep doing her Bible study. I won't tell you the rest of the story. Beautiful story. Musical. But it illustrates that point. Women weren't allowed. So here is Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. That's an oddity. That has nothing to do with the sermon, and neither does Yentl. So you can just erase that. Is it erased? Sort of. Martha turns to Jesus and complains. You know the kind of complaining. Mom, Billy won't help me set the table. Mom. Because she knows she's right, and she knows here's Mary just goofing off. And it doesn't go the way she plans it at all. Jesus says to her, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which part will not be taken away from her. So the lesson here is sit and listen. Now, just a minute ago, we learned a phrase, didn't we? Go do. Now, we have another lesson, is sit and listen. Does anybody but me see there's a conflict between those two directives? Does anybody but me think, well, but this is a conflict that's kind of unsolvable. How are we going to do that? God, I wonder what the Bible says about that, which to do. And so I turned to Google. I said, time, Google. Came back and it said, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. I said, wrong time. Time, Google. Time daily, Cagney and Lacey. And I, no. Did you know that she was only 5'5"? I don't know which one Time Daly was. She was Cagney or Lacey, but she was only 5'5". And a, you know, little bitty gal. I didn't know that. She's 73. And where was I? What am I here after? Oh, here we go. Isn't that how your life goes? Is it like mine? Google led me astray. So I sat back and I thought, time. We know about time. I've heard this passage. I think I might know where that is. There's a time for everything. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to gather stones together, and I've never understood that one, but it's important somehow. But it intrigued me. Is this a time to gather stones or a time to scatter stones and throw stones away? So is it go and do or sit and listen? Intriguingly, some of us are sit and listeners. And some of us are going doers. And both of those are important. And we hear that Jesus is emphasizing these. In a way, it kind of is right there with Mary and Martha. She's about going and doing, but she's busy about hospitality. And we're not 100% sure how to make that differentiation. Is it possible that the Bible is a guide for different things at different times? And true in each one of those different times? It might have been true at one time to go and do, but now as it speaks to us, it tells us to sit and listen. And now it tells us to go and do again. And each time, that's a pretty amazing book. I knew that. But there's another piece of that. My good friend Fred Craddock, you've heard me talk about him. He said it this way. He said, the Christian life involves, among other things, a sense of timing. Timing. Is it time to go and do or to sit and listen? And have I spent my whole life sitting and listening and now it's time to go and do? Or have I spent my whole life so busy on the go that now it's time to sit and listen? It's a good thing the Holy Spirit is there whispering to us. What time, Lord? What time is this? And what time is our time and here and now? And pertinently, what time is it for our church here and now? Let's end with a prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, you know all things as always. You have directed us to sit and listen. You have directed us to go and do. Guide and inspire us in this moment for this occasion, for these times which we are in, that we might follow where you lead us. Through your Holy Spirit and Christ's blessing, and Lord, we give you thanks. Amen.